Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the return of the Beaver Banter Podcast. I'm Nick Daschle, and I cover Oregon State football and basketball for the Oregonian and Oregon Live. Football season's just around the corner, and thank God for that, because we've been spending way too much time at Oregon State's training camp. It's time to actually see some real football games. This season, I'm going to be joined on the podcast by former Oregon State cornerback Kyle White. Kyle played for the Beavers in 2016 and 2017. Welcome to the podcast, Kyle.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on.
I did get that right, didn't I? 2016, 2017?
Yes, sir, you did.
Yeah, okay. I think a good place to start is to kind of find out what a little bit about Kyle and what he's been up to. What your last season was 2017. It's kind of a season everybody was probably trying to forget. What have you been doing since then?
After I got done, I played pro for a bit, decided very short-lived, but called quits. I started working at Enterprise and then finally found my real home and now working at Nike, merchandising and sort of just, living out what I've always wanted to do.
You spent a little time in Saints training camp. What's that like?
It was everything Coach Hall actually said it was going to be. Sort of understanding the playbook as quick and rapid as possible, and just within like a 3-day span, I think I learned probably like two ginormous handful of books, and just understanding their plays and learning their verbiage. It's way different. It's faster than college athletes faster. Overall, it's just like a great experience, and what you learn and understanding that like what you learned in college works, but at the same time, you have to adapt and learn new lingo as well as understanding like the man-to-man coverage turn zone.
Yeah. Did you make it to the final cut, or were you in the rookie camp, or?
No, I didn't. I didn't make it to the final cut. Really bummed about it. I did quickly get signed to the CFL and got to play out about half to three fourths of the season with them.
Yeah.
Playbook totally different. Games totally different. Fields way different. But made it pretty far, never got cut after I got joined until after season. And then, we made it to the Grey Cup, in which we lost.
Yeah. I'm just curious, cause today was cut day in the NFL, and 10 former Beavers made the cut, and a lot of them didn't make the cut. So it's kind of one of those bittersweet days, I know. So what was the shape of Oregon State's program when you left in 2017?
I mean, in my truthful opinion, I think that we were all questioning and still trying to figure out an identity. They always wanted to figure out like team identity, but with Anderson leaving and Coach Hall's in terminal and not knowing who's going to be our next coach, and then figuring out it was Coach Smith, didn't end the season well, didn't have a great season to start really. But when I left, there was new hope with Coach Smith, which was cool, which I didn't get to, be a part of, but really just questions up in the air of how are they going to turn out with the new coach, seeing how like Gary Anderson was the new coach and it didn't pan out then, and how was Coach Smith going to be. But looking at his track record being at Washington, it really looked like it was on an uphill climb. But there was a lot of questions.
Yeah. The only player remaining from your era on the current roster is Jaden Grant. You got any good stories about Jaden?
I sat there and thought about it. And I mean, truly honest, like him being so young when I was there, like what, now we're 5 years out. Don't have like many stories. Great guy and really smart when I was there. So, I mean, it shows on the field now for him on how intelligent and how well he plays. But truly honest, not too many stories. Wish I had more. We had a whole bunch of fun in the locker room, but rather than us just suffering through gassers all the time together, not too many.
Yeah, he was telling me a story a couple of weeks ago about when he almost quit. It was right. It was during summer workouts, I think, in 2016. You guys were pushing 600-pound sleds around. I think it was called a strongman day or something, and he passed out. The trainers were carrying him off the field and a bunch of players were laughing at him. And he thought, boy, I just can't do this. And turns out 7 years later, he could do
it. Yeah. The strongman days were not the funnest. There was always a whole bunch of dudes puking and a whole bunch of dudes passing out. Not a whole bunch, but there was a couple every once in a while. And I mean, you ask Jaden, you could ask him about our 83 gasser day, and he'll tell you that was probably one that anybody on that team will remember. I mean, I've never ran so many gassers in my life, but it's definitely a day that we all remember 83 gassers.
In one session?
In one session, nonstop.
What led to that? Did your coach just mad at you or just wanting to make a point or?
Yeah, it was the same summer that Jaden's talking about. Basically, we're going into the 2017 season, and coach, not coach, what's his name? Our strength coach, he was trying to get us pumped and ready for the season. We ran a couple gassers, but some people didn't make their times. And so instead of just being like, all right, we got to do better, he was like, hey, either you guys can quit and be done for the day, or we can keep running and pretend like as if you're going to win the day, as if this is the first game of season. No, nobody wants to quit. So we're all like, yeah, let's do this. And he was like, he didn't tell us how many we were doing. So we're like 20 in already. We did like an extra 10, and then we kept going, did another 10. And then we kept going and did another like 4 and another 3 and then another 2 and then another 10. And I mean, by the time we knew it, there was dudes passing out here and there. When we finally got done, it was, everybody was exhausted. I remember going back to the locker room and everybody was just sleeping on the ground, just like out of exhaustion.
Just for fans, how long is a gasser?
So we had to, a half gasser is 55 yards or 45 yards, the width of a field. And we had to run that within 7 seconds as the skills players, just to fit the width down within seven. Down back within 16, down back down within, I want to say like 27 or something like that. And then the full gasser was down back in like 33 or something like that.
And you had to do 83 full gassers?
So we had to do some quarter, some half, some three quarters, and some full. Yeah. And he would never tell us which one was next. He'd just say, all right, this one, go. And he'd give us like a, I don't know, like a 10 to 15 second breather in between, which was absolutely nothing because it felt like 2 seconds went by.
Wow. Yeah. I assume that was the one, that was the last of those. You didn't do anything like that ever since then, I imagine.
We did a couple, but it was never fit. Whenever we did gassers after, it was like, hey, everybody hit their times because we don't want to do what we just had to go through. So everybody started hitting times. And never had to look back on that.
So how much have you followed Oregon State since your career ended?
I mean, I watch all the games. I try to keep up. I text JMO every once in a while, Jalen Moore. Yeah. Literally, I love watching the Beavers, and I love going to as many games as possible. And I think this year I should be able to hit a lot more of them. I'm really excited to see what sort of, you know, what's going to unfold. But I knew since 2 years ago, like basically since the COVID year, it was the turnaround of Oregon State. And I've been so excited to watch and see the up climb that they've sort of done. And I'm just excited to see the future.
Yeah. What we hear a lot about culture, you know, that's really important to a good program. And we hear a lot about how this culture at Oregon State, what was your experience with culture? Does that really matter a lot?
Oh, 100% it does. When I was at Oregon State, we were still trying to find our identity and our culture. It was always rough, especially with like Gary Anderson. I think he's a great guy. There was a lot that happened, but with him leaving, it was definitely more of a loss and trying to refigure out a new culture after that. But you see what culture really is supposed to look like when Coach Smith came in and he made everybody truly buy in. Like the words buy in some people's minds just means, yeah, you know, like we're all in, it's whatever. But truly when a team trust each individual on top of has respect for their head coach and every positions coach and wants to really give it their all, you see a difference in the culture, because I believe we had a great team then just with no culture, which showed and reasons why we had bad record. The team that they've had the past 2 years and including this year coming up, it's more so the culture on the team that's helping them win and the belief in each other.
What were your impressions of Oregon State last year?
I loved the D-line started coming together. Our back end secondary looked pretty great. I think there's only a rise from it, especially with Jaden staying in. I think he has the seniority to sort of show the younger guys how to become excellent and how to really work and stay calm under pressure. Our offensive run game's always been amazing. And what I'm most excited to see this year is like the tight ends, because the tight ends have always been great under Jonathan Smith, and our receiving core just get even stronger than what already was. So like last year's team looked good, and I feel like they sort of caved under pressure when it came to the bowl game, just because we hadn't been there in gosh knows how long. But I think this upcoming season is going to be one that's going to be the start to the new Enways dynasty of Oregon State. You know, like basically I think that we've gotten over the hurdle of making a bowl game. Now our goal is to win our bowl games from here on. So I think it's going to be, I think it was a great turn for Oregon State.
Dynasty talk. Haven't heard that in Oregon State in a while.
You know, I love to stay optimistic.
Yeah. So one of the big storylines from last year was, you know, the firing of Tim Tibisaar, defensive coordinator. What differences do you think fans are going to notice from Trent Bray this year?
I think the D-line is going to be – I think there's going to be more blitz packages as top of – he's going to play more physical. I think our defense was physical to start, but with having such a younger coach, he understands his players more, where he was – he's been with them longer. Him being at Oregon State previously, years back, is he knows the culture, he knows the atmosphere, he knows the fan base, and he knows the players even more just because of his age and – understanding of the game and the new generation game that there is. So I think he's going to bring a lot to the defense and helping them excel. And on top of overall, it's going to be, I don't think there's going to be a dramatic difference, but there's going to be a dramatic difference in play wise and how well they perform with him.
Yeah. We've been hearing that, you know, and I've watched him during camp, the secondary, which is kind of your specialty. They could be one of the best secondaries in the Pac-12, and there's a chance he might be the best. So we know they can cover, but how important is the defensive line and the outside linebackers putting pressure on the quarterback to a secondary? How much does that factor into the formula of being great as a secondary?
Oh, it means an absolute a lot, because if you have a great D line, there's no extra time that they have to cover. When you're covering somebody for more than 5 seconds, 5 to 7 seconds, it's a lot, which you already can figure out. But then when the play is still going, you've now ran and figured out a whole offensive package, the routes, but now they're going into free fall where it's like they can sort of just do and move to the quarterback's willing when you're still looking at them trying to figure out what's going on. So when you have enough pressure on a quarterback, it allows, one, the ball to get out faster. Two, you're not sitting in no man's land. And three, that's less chance of holds, penalties. And so it's going to help the secondary be able to understand like route concepts and stay on the route concepts, not have to basically just when the quarterback just rolls out as a scramble, it's going to be able to help them, you know, be prepared on top of not have to deal with that as much.
Yeah.
I mean, the most quarterback pressure you can get, the less percentage of a completion half the time. So, you know, I think it's going to help the secondary. And I think that they are going to be a great group of guys this year, and which I hope to be one of the best in the Pac-12. I mean, they have all the ability. They have a great coach. Coach Blue's amazing. And I think that they have a shot at it.
So camp ended last week. And, you know, camp 10 years ago is different than it is today. They're just, there's more precautions. There's less physical play just for injury's sake. What was kind of your experience during training camp? You know, did you enjoy it? Was it a grind? What did you like about when you were Oregon State in with their preseason camp?
I loved camp. It was definitely different. I mean, what I was a cutoff where like used to be able to do two a days, like right before. I mean, now they do walkthroughs and they do practice on top of film, but every day was a day of competing. Like there's no letting up, which was awesome. I mean, fights here and there, but at the same time, like your teammates. So like it was temporary and it squashed, but every day was a day to compete, to try to be the guy on top, which I love. So basically my first year there, I was a running back and didn't really work out for me. I had Ryan Nall, Tim Cook, AP, and they all were great. And so, I mean, I knew that corner was a better position for me. And so when I moved over to corner, I got to play the nickel spot behind Dwayne Haskins and Dwayne Williams. And he was good, but I also think I had a great position at it. But he was made for the nickel position. So all camp, I was a nickel until the fall ball game. And I moved back to corner and I sort of felt like I shined better at corner, which that's where I wanted to be. And so that sort of helped me. But, you know, having Jay Irvine, Xavier had left the year before, which was awesome. Treston Decoud was awesome. But fall camp was one of my absolute favorite times of the year, just because everybody wants to go all out to become a starter. But at the same time, like that's where you really show if you thrived and if you showed film and if you've been working on your craft.
Any good camp stories from the 2 years you're at Oregon State?
Any good camp stories? I remember, I mean, I'm sort of just going to dog on myself, but it was a funny and bad day at the same time. But I was at running back the first year and Coach Anderson had me run like an outside zone play. And for some reason, I just wanted to bounce it. It made sense from my opinion, but apparently it didn't make sense. So he was like, no, hit the B gap. And I just couldn't do it just because it kept closing. They knew it was coming because we just kept running it over and over and over. I think we ran it about 9 times before we got in a fight. I was just like, all right, like, I don't know what you want me to do then. But I mean, rather than that, camp at Bend was amazing. Love sitting under like, you know, sunset, had a whole bunch of fun with the guys. Camp in general, like 5 years ago, a lot of very brief memories of it. But what I do remember is like the passion, the fun I had, and, you know, exploring Bend at the same time.
Fights. I only saw maybe 3 of them this year, maybe 3 or 4. And they didn't last very long. But
no, they never did.
And I think some of that had to do with the year. I think it was maybe in the spring there was a good fight and Jonathan did not take well to it, and he did so, but these ones didn't last long. But I mean, how do you get, when you guys are fighting your own teammates, I mean, is it just like, do you get over it pretty quickly? Or
it's at a short frustration and then it literally squashes right after it's done, and then when you get to the locker room, it's a laugh, like I almost got you, and they're like, no, not even close. But it's just like a brief frustrated moment with the heat of everything going on and the play and the call and so on and so forth. But basically it's just a brief thing. Your teammate is your teammate and you understand that.
When camp ends, are guys pretty happy because it's kind of, the practice becomes something totally different, doesn't it? When you start game week practices, is a completely different type of practice.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You go from, like, hitting everything full steam, hitting it, like, normal hard hits, like, as if it's game day, And then you sort of slow it down to, all right, now we're working on scouting for the other team. You know, we got their play calls. We're going through scenarios. We're walking through scenarios. All right, that play didn't look good full speed. Let's slow it down, break it down again. And then you have more time to like sit there and make sure your body's like fully recovered. They don't want you to oversteam once you're actually getting ready for season. Yeah. And so it's like you go completely hard in fall camp, spring ball, summer workouts, and then you slow it down and make sure your body's right, healthy, and like making sure that you're fully ready for the game. Cause I mean, now that basically fall camp's coming to an end or has came to an end and they're getting ready for Boise State, all focus is on Boise. So the transition is amazing. The team, I mean, when I played, I loved fall camp, but I was always ready for it to be over because it's basically like, hey, you're going hard as you can. And then once fall camp ends, you can calm it down a little, but go hard. It's just knowing your steps, knowing the speeds, and you want to run your first couple steps full speed, make sure that you know what you're doing, make sure it's correct. And then, you know, you slow it down.
So Oregon State, their first three games are Boise State, Fresno State, Montana State. Possibility of going 3-0. The first two are pretty difficult games, particularly the Fresno game. But I'm just curious, as a player, how do you go, it's all about Boise State. That's the only thing that matters. You don't even think of 3-0. It just seems like it'd be hard to believe you could actually not think about, you know, starting your season off with a good record, and all you do is focus on that first game. Is that easy to do or not?
I mean, I think of the way we look at per game is the same way I look at per play in a game. It's you focus on one thing and one thing alone. So, you know, like they have Boise State coming up. I don't see any of them looking past that Boise State game and saying like, hey, yeah, we can go 3-0 now. It's you focus on that game and that game alone. You get the win and you focus on the next one. You go hard for the week, you go for Saturday, you get the win, and then you focus on the next one. But it's never, hey, we can beat this team, and this team. Because if you're sitting here focusing on past that first game, you're already setting yourself up, in my opinion, for failure. Because I think that you should be able to focus. I think you should only focus on one thing and one thing alone, and that's the opponent that you have that Saturday.
So for a season opener, you haven't really played in – well, you haven't played in 9 months, 9-10 months for some teams. You've gone through two sets of heavy practices with camp and spring practice. I mean, yet the coaches are going to say it's one game of 12. Don't make it bigger than it is. Is that how players see it, or is there a little bit extra juice in that season opener?
Way too much juice in that season opener. It's basically getting all the first game jitters out every year all over again. You know, it's like, Your body's moving. You got all the jitters in them. You're ready to go. And, you know, you just need to take that first contact hit. After that, you could calm it down a little where you're like, all right, now I'm ready to play. And it happens every game. So, like, that first game is just over felt where you're just like, all right, I'm ready to go. I see the lights. The lights are ready. I see all the fans. I'm playing this other team finally that I've been waiting 9 months to play. And so, you know, they just got to get past that first couple series and they'll calm down. So, like, you know, coming into this game, I expect nothing less than, you know, they're all going to be overhyped. Somebody's going to make a big play. There's probably going to be a flag or two, but the goal is to try to keep that to a minimum and then make big plays and have fun. I mean, it's going to be a great sight to see. And as long as they're staying focused, it's going to work well for them.
Did you play in the one opener as a senior, or did you play in the one year in 2016 as well? I can't remember how many games you played in 2016.
I played in the special teams in the season opener against Montana. No, Minnesota. And then I played corner against Colorado State in the season opener at Colorado State. My first play, I had an interception off of busted coverage.
First play in the Colorado State game?
By myself.
I mean, first play that you were.
Yeah, my first play.
Wow, so you were about the only guy that did it.
Yeah, so it was a read option, or what was it? Something like that. And he came back five step and threw a bomb to the receiver that's on the Cowboys right now. And I had cover three. I saw a run, so I took a half a step, and this dude just took off. And I sprinted after him, got back to it. I got lucky that Anjay actually smacked the quarterback. Throw was a little short, and I got under it, and I got the interception. I mean, the next play after, like two plays after, Timmy had his first touchdown. So Timmy had like the first touchdown of the season, and I had the first like interception of the season. So we were off to a decent start. Game didn't end well still, but I mean, for my first play, it was pretty memorable for me.
Timmy being Timmy Hernandez, your roommate both years or 1 year?
Roommate for like 1.5 of the years. Yeah, he got his own apartment. I had some other teammates that were my roommates.
So we look at the Saturday's game at Boise State. What would you say are a few of the keys to that game?
In my opinion, I think it's going to be about run stop. I believe that. I mean, everybody knows Boise. They always want to run the ball. They have some good receivers, but their primary base is to run the ball. If we can stop the run, we'll work well, especially on the back end. I think we always will. And then making sure that we can get the ball out, quarterback to receivers. Our run game is always going to be number one. It's going to open up everything else. I mean, I think it's going to be a close game, but overall, I think we should come out with a win. As long as we can stick to our keys and our bases and stopping the run, playing good defense, solid defense, we should be able to hold them to a minimum.
I mean, don't you think the way this team is set up right now, Oregon State's going to come out and make teams show they can stop the run until they do, unless they happen to put nine guys in the box, and then at that point, Oregon State's got to make them pay, you know, by throwing the ball, I would think. But if it's just your typical defense, don't you think they're going to run the ball until the opponent can show they can stop the run?
Oh yeah, I mean, my favorite part about football and me being from Alabama is running the ball. I think Alabama, Georgia, all the teams that do well run the ball till they be stopped. And I think Oregon State the past 3 years have always ran the ball until they can actually get stopped. Even when a bad play happens, they're still going to run the ball because it's our foundation. We run the ball well. We've had great running backs the last couple of years, and I think that's never going to stop. I mean, the running backs that we have now are all really well. And so, you know, I think they're going to all run the ball well. And no matter who you put in, it's going to work out. And then on top of them trying to stop the run, we have great tight ends. And when they finally stop the run, we have great receivers. So then we're able to spread the ball out. But the run's never going to stop.
How demoralizing is that to a defense when you just can't stop the run?
It's basically like, I don't know what you're supposed to do because no play call is working. You don't want to overly stack the box because then everything on the outside is open. So it's just when you can run it down somebody's throat enough where their mental is done, you have now put yourself at a point where all you got to do is keep doing that and the game is yours. As long as you don't mentally think the game is over and you just say, we're just going to keep doing this and show you can't compete with us, that game is going to be yours as long as that keeps happening. And Oregon State has showed the past couple years with Juice. AP was a great running back. I wish we would use Thomas Tyner more. Ryan Nall was always pretty good whenever he was in. And, I mean, it's just time and time again, we keep getting these great running backs. Even B.J. Baylor, it's just one after another, and it's just going to keep going. And as long as, I mean, Coach Smith understands it, and he's good at it, and he knows when to run the ball and to just run it down their throat.
Yeah. So Oregon State wins Saturday night. If what happens?
We can hold. I don't know. This part I'm never, like, crazy great at. I always like to call scores, but I think if we hold like Boise to like maybe 120 yards, but at the same time, like I think the score is going to be within 7 to 13 points ending at the end, but it's going to be just stopping the run is the main thing.
Yeah, I called it 27-17 Oregon State. I just think this is going to be a pretty low scoring game. And when I say a low scoring, 27-17 for these two teams is kind of low scoring. I just think the two defenses are the strength of both teams. Not that Oregon State's offense isn't strong. It's good, but I think the defense is going to be something different this year that we've seen in a while.
I think this offense is going to be different for us, though. Like, normally, yeah, I agree with you. Our defense is where our strong suit is that keeps us in games. I really, really like the offense this year. And the tight ends that we have, I think they're going to be a huge asset on the whole season. Our running backs are always our, like, main focal point. And our receiving corps is good. And so I think that our offense is going to hold their end of the bargain. And our defense is going to do what our defense always does. So I could either see it be this one a close game or us. This first game, I don't believe it's going to be a blowout. I believe no matter what, it's going to be a close game. But I feel like as the season goes along, you're going to really see this offense finally shine.
Yeah, I will say first games are just impossible to predict, really, because they're just – there's so many mistakes made, and you just never know. It's not really the true team that comes out that first game typically, but I kind of like to look at second and third games more than a first game. Just that always seems to me to be more of a barometer of what a team's going to look like than the first game. But I think with the experience of this team, the first game shouldn't be as big a deal as say maybe other openers, just because there's so many veterans on this team.
I agree. Yeah. I think our defense is going to be solid, and we have a lot of upperclassmen to really lead the team, which is going to be really nice. So I do believe that we have a great year ahead of us, and that this game is going to be one that doesn't come to the wire, but it's going to be a close, again, like you said, 10 point game where it's like, all right, like, what's going to happen? And really it comes down to like the last, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. It's just, or the second half, who's really going to prevail and, you know, like, pull through.
Yeah. Are you going to be at the game on Saturday?
No, I actually have to go take engagement pictures in Washington, but I will hopefully be at the next 1 to 2. I'll definitely be in the one in Portland. So,
engagement? Are you getting married?
Yes, I am.
Well, congratulations. Wow. When's the big day?
Thanks. It's June 16th next year.
Yeah, my daughter's getting married next year. We're not really sure when it's going to be, but that sounds about right, about in that neighborhood. So so we'll see what happens. I'm hoping they're going to be next summer. But so predictions on the season. What do you think this team's going to end up doing this year?
I think we have the opportunity to be an 8-4 team. I see us more of like a 7-5. But slowly and steadily, we've gotten better every year. So we just hit a bowl game last year. I really think we have the ability to be an 8-4, but I'm going to say 7-5 team.
Yeah. I'm calling it 8-4 with an outside chance to get to 10 wins if they start the season strong. I just think that Fresno State game is going to be so difficult. The environment down there, the weather, it's going to be hot. It's going to be a tough game, but for somehow they can get out 3-0. I think 9-3 or 10-2 is out there, but I do think this team can win 8 games. But the first 5 games are going to be difficult. There's no question about it. With Fresno and Boise and USC and Utah among the first 5, I mean, anything from 4-1 to 1-4 is possible. So, yeah, we'll see how it comes out. But I'm saying 8-4, and I don't know what bowl game that gets them into, but it would be a decent bowl game for sure. So,
agreed. Yeah, I think this year's the beginning of the season is going to be basically the understanding of where we're going to finish out. If they start off strong, I think it's going to ride more times than not the rest of the season. But I think they have a great chance of like an 8-4 season.
Yeah. Well, next week we'll dig in a little deeper onto the game. We don't really have a game to talk about right now other than what's coming up, but we haven't seen a game, so we'll be able to pick the thing apart a little bit. But anyway, that's a wrap on this week's edition of Beaver Banter. Remember, you can find this podcast wherever you find your favorite podcast. Be sure to check out Oregon Live for our Oregon State content. We've got some good stories coming. Got one on Jaden Grant and his 7-year journey at school, and be looking at offensive line coach Jim Mihalchik. We'll see you next week, right about Tuesday or so. Thanks for listening.